Hello, I'm Eric Xing. I want to first thank the organizer for inviting me to give this talk. And I apologize as well that for the insufficiency of results. I was overwhelmed by Andrew's talk this morning with so many nice results. What I'm going to do is really, mainly a methodological talk with, some mathematics and a little bit simulation results and maybe some empirical results. And bear with me if you don't get excited about the data. All right, so the talk will be on statistical network analysis and the inferences. And I'm going to talk about three classes of different models for analyzing latent space structures of networks and also temporary evolutions of networks. To set up a stage, I'm going to do a little bit overview. Hopefully this is early to give an overview of the literature of network analysis by statistical modeling. So as we know, networks is a favored form of representing complicated data, especially in the relational space. And it turns out it has been used in other domain and also stimulate a lot of biological statistical analysis of this type of data. And a particular class of data is mostly focusing on describing the process of generating network data. And examples such as random networks and spill-free preferential attachment mechanisms has been used to describe network statistics. And these models are nice in the sense of understanding macroscopic properties of networks, such as you can write down the model and then figure out the degree distribution or network diameters and things like that of a network. But the deficiency of this model is that you cannot use them to do inference about a specific network context and semantics. Another type of network model is, as I named here, stochastic block models, exponential random graph models, and so on. They are more focusing on analyzing the meta space of networks in terms of actor roles and semantics of network functions and things like that. So my talk will be along this line to begin with. So to dissect a network, one of the important goals people want to achieve is to associate the role of the node in the network with some relational structure such as network topology you observed. And usually that role can be represented by a position in some semantic space constructed by the user or by the model. And then your model will be describing certain aspects of the role of the position, such as the structure equivalency we see in the literature. And stochastic block model is actually one of the ways of describing that. They capture a structure like this. For example, if you see this network, then the equivalency of neighborhood environment of particular nodes can define what we call structural equivalences. And if you analyze this network, you can see probably three types of node environment. In here, you see an equivalent of these two nodes, and in here, you see these two nodes, two class of nodes are equivalent and so forth. So if you do this kind of analysis, in the end, you can use a particular reduction to reduce a network into this kind of higher level network, which are connecting not the nodes, but the positions of the nodes in the graph. And one of the desired properties of a statistical analysis is to infer this in the stochastic sense, in the probabilistic sense, and then write a likelihood function and do inference over that. So a classical approach to do this is to use the so-called stochastic block modeling, which is a process of identifying all these type of positions. And then the network can be represented by this matrix where the presence of a block of ones indicating some homogeneous structure in the network, such as people have the same type of neighborhood connectivity and things like that. And in the real network, sometimes you don't see a perfect structure, and then you see this kind of stochastic consequence due to noise and other observational problem, and you need to use a stochastic model of breaking down that. So my talk will start here, technically, where we want to build a general framework to write down such model. So here is a classical framework people use, where you define the network as a random variable. In particular, each of the edge can be indexed as a random variable connecting node between I and J, and if there's a one there, then there's an edge, otherwise there's no edge. And then you can write down a distribution over the joint configuration of all these networks using a particular statistic defined on substructures in the graph, such as you can define the statistics to be characterizing particular strengths or preferences over substructures such as cliques and other subgraphs over network, and then you parameterize that, and the Hammersley-Clifford theorem guarantees you to write down a consistent joint distribution of all the node configurations. Edge configurations. And some special cases of this model is this Bernoulli block model, where you imagine the node can take two functionality, say they are in group one and group two, and then this parameter will be basically indicating the strength of an edge connecting node between the two blocks or within the same blocks. And then in the end, you have this parameterized function. So this is what we know in the classical network statistic literature about graph modeling. What I'm going to talk about today is three extensions of this framework along the line of analyzing latent topics of nodes in the network, and also talk a little bit about how to generalize this model to describe temporal evolutions of network, as one of the gentlemen this morning mentioned about. So to begin with, let's look at the stochastic raw model I just mentioned and see how it can be used to analyze a real set of data. So this is a classical data set often used in the social network literature, which is collected by Thompson when he was doing his thesis in 1968. So he basically lived in a monastery and talked to the monks over there and collect this very small social network where each node corresponds to a monk in that monastery. And then they are also empirically labeled as belonging to four groups with some political or maybe religious interpretations. And he wants to build a model where by observing all this network topology, you can do some inference on this type of latent semantics of the actors. So how one can do that? So if you look at the problems, you may want to ask, what are the fractions in this population? And how many are there such fractions? And how do the fractions related to each other? So these are the typical problems one would ask in a social network analysis. Well, back to the original stochastic block model, we may notice that there is a key assumption in that model, which assumes that each node will be taking only one role when it is interacting with all the other friends or actors in domain. Sometimes in many application domains, such as the social network I just mentioned about, or in particular in biological network analysis and citation networks, this may be an insufficient assumption, as Andrew showed plenty of this morning, which is in a sense saying that each node may actually have not only one role, but maybe having multiple roles. And in particular, their interaction with the neighborhood are context dependent, meaning that they will be assuming different roles when they are interacting with different parties in the community. And also there may be some prior knowledge exists between the group interaction that can be used to regularize this process. So how can we do that? Well, here is a model I want to share with you, which is actually pretty similar to what Andrew showed this morning. When you start from this representation of each node will be represented by not only an indicator function of that particular node being in class one or class two, but instead it is represented by a vector of row involvement. Say this is a vector of five dimension, and with 20% of probability, this row is playing the role, this node is playing the role of being a monk, otherwise it is going to be a role of a servant and things like that. And you can sample this vector for each of the nodes according to some prior distribution. And then when this node is going to form correlation or relationship with others, you are going to sample a functional indicator according to this row vector one by one. And then based on the pair of samples assumed by these two actors, when they are going to form a tie with each other, you are going to sample the presence or absence of this tie according to a specific distribution. So this model actually is called a stochastic mixed membership model, which will be discussed in detail by Edo tomorrow. But I'm going to just mention a high-level picture of this. So what is essentially happening in this model is really a combination of two pieces of ideas. One is that for a model, you want to model them in a hierarchical Bayesian way by representing each of the nodes using a latent mixed membership vector encoding degree of semantic aspects rather than discrete involvement to a single particular latent function. And secondly, this latent structure is on semantics of interactions. For example, you may have a prior distribution of how often particular pair of rows will be interacting with each other. And combining these two ideas together, you actually get down this model, which I'm going to review in the next slide so that you can see exactly how it is taking into, how it plays a role in generating the data you observed. So for example, you are going to write down the likelihood of this particular interaction in the graph which is formed between actor J and actor I, and we want to learn the probability of this particular observed link. How do we do that? Well, you have an inventory of distributions, which is going to be used to sample the mixed membership vector for these two actors. I'm going to sample this three-dimensional vector. Suppose that only three rows are possible to be played, and then sample a vector similarly for this actor J. And conditioning on this, you are going to try to sample what is the probability of a pair of functions are going to interact each other. For example, here, I assume there are three possible latent functions to be instantiated. Therefore, I have a 3x3-dimensional matrix in which an element in this matrix corresponds to the probability of an actor taking action I, action J in this matrix, and another actor taking action J in this matrix are going to interact. So given all this piece of information, you can write down the probability, the conditional probability of observing an interaction between actor I and actor J in this formula, which is, you know, basically to use these two row vectors to sample probabilistically an element in this matrix to jointly form a probability. So this kind of generative model can be very flexibly designed to reflect both your prior knowledge about row interaction and also the multiplicity or maybe the multifaceted property of actor interaction among complex environment. And this is again a generative model summarizing what I had before. And here I have some parametric function to describe the conditional probability distribution of each of the random variables given their dependent or covariate in the graphic model. And in the end, you will be arriving at a pretty complicated joint probability function of the entire probabilistic semantics you're going to observe. So here, I can write down the joint probability of the R, which is the observed relationship among all the actors, the Z, which is the indicator of latent roles each actor is going to play with when interacting with others, and theta are the latent roles of each actor, and gamma is the role interaction matrix. So this is obviously a very complicated distribution, and our goal is basically to use this structure to infer all the latent variables you are interested in. And in this particular case, you are interested in, for example, the latent mixed membership vector of each actor, or maybe a particular role that an actor is playing with when it is interacting with others. So doing all these kind of inferences can be complicated, and we have developed, actually Edo developed a pretty smart inference algorithm called mean field approximation to approximately infer this. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip this detail, and you may want to hear Edo's talk tomorrow to learn more detail about that. In the end, you will be actually getting something like this. So when running the approximate inferences, you can basically get a posterior estimation of the parameters of interest in this model. So here I put down the model I described before, and here you can see the location of each of the indicator random variable you are interested in inferring about. For example, this gamma matrix, if you remember, corresponds to the probability of row-to-row interaction. And this matrix actually shows you an estimate of that value. And you can see interesting properties such as a particular group called the outcast are somehow isolated in here, and another group called young Turks seems to be interacting for some reason with the loyal opposition a lot, you know, in this context. And also you can do model selection under this framework by trying a number of different guesses of the number of clusters and plot the likelihood function and hopefully find a peak there indicating the most likely configuration. So this kind of framework is a significant generalization to the classical stochastic block model by allowing, you know, more flexible row configurations and the interaction environment. And you can also plot things like this, which is to represent each of the actors in your domain by their position in what we call a mixed membership syntax, which is just the space of a multi-member distribution of this theta. And you can see that people from different groups do actually sit in different corners of this syntax to form some pseudo groups. And with this kind of structure, you can also build easy extensions to capture, for example, the evolution of these positions over time using a structure like this. For example, you can build a model on top of data you observe at each time, and you build multiple models for each of the time, and then use a stochastic process to connect some of the latent variable you believe to be evolving over time over this using this first order hidden Markov chain. And this essentially corresponds to a common future over the prior distribution of the row distribution. You can also introduce another first order Markovian process to model the possible changes of row interaction matrix over time. And there are efficient algorithms available in machine community to do inference about that. Okay, so this is a first generalization of the stochastic Brown model over latent space, which I want to stop right here before I move on to the temporal evolution using another strategy. So any questions so far before I move on? Sorry for the fast-paced movie, because Edo is going to give more details tomorrow, so I'm going to run very fast. Good. Okay, so now I'm going to slow down to talk about two new models which are doing very different things, as you see so far. So here we basically assume a crucial thing, which says that the network itself are actually observed, and also they are kind of fixed at each time point, so that I can write down a model over that. So the next task we are interested in trying to do is to really model temporal evolutions of network, so that we can say something about how networks are evolving over time. And later on, maybe using this model to do some inference tasks, such as inferring about the network topology itself. And so how should we begin with? So we, you know, I don't need to motivate why we want to model network changing over time, because the current data available to us in the social network domain and in biology are mostly from that context. So here are, for example, the voting record in the Senate. And if you look at over time, there are different, you know, degree of cooperativity and antagonism and the formation of cliques over time. And if you assume the network to be the same and collapsing all this data, you lose a lot of information. In biology, we have the same problem. Usually many interesting data, such as the gene expression profile, are collected over time, and they are underlying complicated biological processes, such as its morphogenesis of a particular embryo, and also cancer progression and so forth. And a key assumption biologists believe is that under each specific time, you know, there is a different regulatory program controlling the formation of the tissue and the activity of the biological processes. And these networks obviously will be slightly different over time. So how can we actually use this data, for example, to infer this kind of network different over time? Well, to do this, the first thing you want to do is to really write down an appropriate model which can capture the behavior of this dynamic evolution of networks over time. So here is where we begin with. So we assume that network will be evolving mildly over time, in a sense that we assume, first of all, discrete time point, so that at each time point, you have a slightly different network over the same set of nodes. And some of the links will be missing at some specific time point. And by for simplicity, we first assume that all these networks are observed and the network nodes are fixed. Okay, so to model the temporal behavior of this sequence of networks, an obvious way is to decompose this joint distribution of all the networks into a product of conditional distributions over each pair of time slices, which is really captured by a first order Markovian assumption. So here we assume that the network observed at time t will be somehow dependent on the network observed at time t plus one. So how should we model this model? There are two ways in the literature to model this. One is to use a generic framework called Bayesian networks, where you write down this conditional distribution in the generic sense using a product of local conditional distributions. Well, the problem of this representation is that you need to write down parametric function for each substructures in the network. If the network is big and it's changing over time, we need to come up with many, many different parametric form of this distribution, which is kind of complicated. And the core difficulty lies in that the model is defined on a collection of local properties in a network, which can be graph specific. Well, an alternative way of doing that is to use an energy-based model, which is essentially a Markov network defined on energy terms over network topologies. And the energy terms can be defined on arbitrary substructures of network, and some of them can capture macroscopic or global properties of network, which are stable over time. And that's the property we want to exploit over time. So the form is generally like this, and let me show you some of the possible design of these potential functions in the Markov network presentation. So this is, again, an exponential graph model as you saw before, but I'm going to slightly generalize that by replacing this static model into a dynamic domain by essentially, I think I'm jumping ahead of myself. Okay, so this is a stochastic exponential random graph model over a single time slices without time invariance. Yeah?
Can I interrupt? If you're looking at the evolution of Markov, of networks as a Markov chain, another assumption is that the amount of time the system spends in each of these states is exponentially distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
think
about that assumption?
Yeah, such assumption is assumed. You will see actually the parameterization in a few slices. So, just to motivate that model, I'm going to just review a little bit about how people parameterize exponential random graph in the static world. So here is a particular parameterization. You are defining the diffusion over a weighted sum of potential functions defined on the graph. And there are flexible ways of choosing the potential functions. For example, one way of doing that is to define a potential which is a function of the number of edges in the network. And a second way could be the number of two stars or the number of triangles in the network. And then you can write down a joint distribution of the network in terms of the weighted sum of these three potentials. So this kind of constructive way allows people to do design a network distribution in a very flexible fashion based on global properties of network rather than based on specific topology structure in the network. So the trick of the temporal exponential graph model is to really make the previous parameterization into a first order Markov model like this, where my potential function is not defined on one graph, but on a pair of adjacent graphs in my time series. And therefore, my little potentials like this will be also across a pair of time points. For example, here I can come up with the following design of the potential function. The first one corresponds to a sort of a continuity notion in a network, saying that the total number of edges in the network are not going to change over time too much. So this is basically a cost function to count the number of changes. Or you can describe another potential function which describes the reciprocity of network. If you see a network edge in this direction, the next time you will see the other direction. It's a floating function. Or transitivity property can be captured in this way. When you see two edges connecting three nodes, then in the third, in the next time step, you will see a completion of a triangle and things like that. Density stability can be also described by using this type of potential function. So here are just a few examples that you can write down potentials over this exponential random graph model. But the common property of all these potentials is that they are mostly defined across time points so that you can capture the dynamic behavior or stability of network over time. So putting things together, you will be having a network like this, which basically encourage network to stay on course without much change, but they can change in a particular way as described in these many functions. Well, you may ask, well, I design this model, then where do I come up with weights, the parameters of this model? It turns out that one can use a very simple maximum likelihood estimation based on MCMC to, you know, reliably estimate the parameters of this model. And I show the results based on some small simulation where I simulate the network using this, the weight configuration as I show here, and I use the MCMC to learn parameters. You can see the values are, you know, in a sense, very close to each other, although there are some descriptions in certain things. But overall, this algorithm is going to be quite efficient and accurate in estimating the true parameters of this model, as I can see shown here using another simulation where the network model is small enough so that exact inference is doable. So now we have this temporal exponential random graph model, we can really do a number of things. The simplest thing you can do, like what people do in the degrees skill-free network and things like that, you can do hypothesis testing to ask whether your data is evolving according to this network by doing a likelihood test. Or you can do data exploration by finding, you know, certain trends in the network structure, which is again descriptive. Or you can do foundation of learning by, you know, using this likelihood function to prove learnability in terms of guarantee and consistency and things like that. So we are interested in a particular application of this model in doing network reverse engineering, as I show you here. So network reverse engineering is this problem. You see data like this, which are giving you as an attribute of actors in a network, and you may have such attribute over time, but you don't give the you don't have the information of the network. There is a big literature in machine learning and in other domain to develop learning algorithms to learn network topology based either on information theoretic approaches or other model-based approaches. And here are some examples. For example, giving you a sequence of network, you can collapse all this data and then learn a Bayesian network, which is a time invariant graph structure which are generating node one by one according to a traversal in the graph based on conditional distributions of node given their parents. So this network is of course not dynamic, and there is a deficiency in here, assuming that you know although you see different data at different time points, the network itself is not changing. There is another notion developed by Neil Freeman and used by a number of computational biologists in their domain called dynamic Bayesian network, which assumes that you know I'm going to model the transition process from time one to time two using a Bayesian network connecting across time points. So this model is called a dynamic Bayesian network because the edges are crossing two different time points. But if you look at this model very carefully, this is still a static model because the graph structure is stationary. Therefore, for all time points in your observation, you will be using the same structure to define the distribution. Again, this is not a truly dynamic network. So we want to do a model like this where the model itself, the graph itself, is actually changing topologically over time. And based on the specific topology at each time point, it will be generating observations such as this gene expression in biology or some social metric in social network literature. And the idea will be to hopefully build a model based on this assumption so that network will be changing over time and also emitting observation at each time point. And then given the data, you want to come up with an algorithm so that you can do posterior inferences of network topology at each time point. So this problem is actually quite non-trivial if you actually don't use a specific model that governing the graph evolution structure over time, as I said in the second part of the talk. And the difficulty comes as this. Look at this problem, you know, if you are ignoring the network evolution over time and want to infer the network topology based on the data at only one point, then you really are encountering a significant data limitation problem. Because at each time, you are only at most observed at one sample from network, and there is no way for you to do some statistical inference over one sample. Sometimes even you are relaxing the definition of time epoch to make the multiple time points, and usually at each time epoch, you will be having a few observations over time. And therefore, inducing a network itself is still a very difficult problem. So the trick we want to use to do these inferences is to exploit the property that networks are evolving according to a certain dynamic processes, such that there is a general stability over the network structure, such that they are not changing dramatically over time. For example, here, if there is a substructure in the network which are constant, not changing over time, then you can imagine that some of the data in these observation sequences will be from the same topological structure, and they can be all collapsed together to estimate the structure of this graph model. Right. But there is a chicken egg problem in this scenario, because without knowing the network, you actually don't know which part of the process is repeating and which part are actually changing over time. So in the end, the algorithm will be somehow look like an EM algorithm, which is that based on your current model, you estimate which part of the graph is stable over time, and then you collect all the data to estimate this structure. And then once you re-estimate structure, you re-estimate the dynamic behavior of the graph to see which other graphs are recurring over time, and so forth. So here comes to the formal layout of the model. So this is a graph representation of the statistical model I just described, which is almost like a HMM model, but the node semantics were very different. So in here, back there in the chain, you have a sequence of graph which are evolving over time. Therefore, the state space of each of the node will be the entire possible configuration of the graph, and they are evolving over a first order Markovian fashion. And then conditioning on topology of each network at each time, you will be sampling observations accordingly using an emission model. And you can sample d copies of that. And d can be anywhere from 1 to a very small number, not to the extent that you have enough data to estimate time specific mean. And then the evolution behavior of this model will be using a transition model, and the stochastic temporal exponential graph model I just described will be a candidate to model this process. And then conditionally on a graph, you will be using an emission model to describe the observation of the data. And here is the specific parameterization of this model. So again, as you see in the earlier slices, the transition model will be defined as a temporal exponential graph model, but now it is hidden because we don't observe a network. And we can again introduce a set of small density functions or potential functions based on our prior belief of how the network are evolving over time. And here, I choose to use density, stability, continuity, and transitivity as the three potential functions I used in this graph evolution model. And then the emission model can be designed accordingly using also two possible approaches. One is, again, a Bayesian network approach, which is not that straightforward because at each time point, you will be seeing different time network topology. Therefore, the conditional distribution of the observation given the topology has to be very flexible to capture all the possible configurations, which is not very easy. So we, again, use a exponential random graph model type of approaches, which is to define the conditional distribution of the data given the hidden network as an energy-based function, like this. So this energy-based function can be somehow designed to capture the degree of consistency between the data and the network, as I show in this example. For example, if there is an edge between a pair of nodes, then you see positive correlations between the observations, and otherwise you see negative correlation and so forth. And this kind of simple structure can be succinctly captured in a parametric way in this potential function design. So in the end, you will be having this model where you have a hidden rewiring network, you have an initial network to define the prior distribution of network topology, and then you will have a time invariant parameter to indicate the direction of pairwise correlations that dictates the generation of data from hidden networks. And then at each time point, you will be having multiple observations to allow inference at each time point. So doing inference of this model turns out to be not trivial, because if you want to use a Gibbs sampling algorithm to do the inferences, at each time, you have to sample a particular network topology given the Markov blanket of this model in the stochastic model, which amounts to the network in front of one step before that time, one step after that, and also the observation at that time point. Remember, these nodes are all correspond to a specific topology of a network. Therefore, it is a very complicated one. And here, I just give you an example of the log odds which will be used for deep sampling, which amounts to comparing the conditional probability of a network given its predecessor at every time slices. And that turns out to be very complicated because remember, we are using a stochastic experimental random graph model which needs to deal with a partition function of the random variables. And that partition function can be only computed by summing over all possible configurations of a network, which is very hard in this particular time because you don't actually even observe this network at all. Therefore, for each possible configuration, instantiation of this topology, you have to recompute the partition function. That's kind of complicated. So we come up with some approximate inference scheme at each time steps to compute each component in this sampling distribution, which I don't have time to go over into detail. But for small networks, it is still doable for if you want to apply exact inference where your compute is Z in the exact sense. Okay, so again, we set up this model, and now we actually use the same algorithm as I told before to to do prompt estimation, which turns out to be also feasible, then our goal is to estimate, evaluate whether this model is indeed going to be useful to estimate latent network topology over time. So here we did some simple simulation-based experiment. Well, one reason of doing this experiment based on simulation is because we don't have a network of sequences whose topology are exactly known. They are, you know, usually a empirical data structure people also use sometimes. So we want to basically avoid using this kind of data because we don't know the ground truth. So our simulation is like follow. We start with a design matrix of a graph or a network consisting of 10 nodes and this many edges. And then we're going to evolve this particular network over time according to a model we designed over maybe 50 time slices. And then we're going to generate also the observation data based on this sequence of networks and then hide away those networks from the inference algorithm for comparison. Then we actually applied three different strategies to reverse engineer the network topology. The first one is to take on the classical assumption of invariant network, assuming that all the data we observed over time are coming from the same network, and then we're going to infer a single stochastic exponential random graph model. And the second metric or the results we obtain is not really an estimation result. It is the average network from the ground truth because we are simulating the network, therefore actually know all topology. Let's assume that they are all exactly inferable. And then what could be the best single network we can get out of such strategy? So this is the average of ground truth. And then the third approach is our approach, which is based on hidden temporal experimental graph. And then we compare the accuracy of the network topology based on F-score, which is harmonic mean of sensitivity and specificity defined on each edge in terms of whether it can be recovered correctly or not. So this is an experiment based on the simulation data. There are two metrics of simulating the data, which we used as the free knob to test in different environments. One parameter is this ether parameter, which to some degree governs the degree of dynamic over network distribution. So how dramatically network can change over time. The bigger, the more dramatic it can change. Of course, the problem will be more difficult. And there's another parameter called theta, which is governing the degree of consistency between the observed data, between the node observation and the network topology. And the bigger the value, the more inconsistent it is. Of course, the more difficult the problem will be. And over different combinations of these two free parameters, we found that indeed the hidden temporal exponential graph model are doing a reasonably stable job in recovering most of the network topology in this very small example. In fact, it gets somewhere between 0.9 and 0.95 over all time points, and the variance is very small. And on the other hand, the static network, because of its wrong assumption of network invariance, it can score, you know, at most this many edges to be correct. And even the average of the true networks over all time slices are not getting anywhere better because, again, the network is changing over time. Therefore, there isn't a single network that is persistent over all time points. And you can actually see also there is an expected trend of decreased performance as the difficulty of the problem increases by having more dramatic changes and more inconsistent outcomes. There's another experiment which we did to assess the sensitivity of our estimation over the amount of available data. So you can imagine that the most difficult scenario for this type of problem could be at each time point, you only see one instance of a data point, okay? And sometimes, if you wait long enough, you may allow yourself to observe multiple instances of data at each time point, and we call them as the length of the epoch. And now we actually test the algorithm in terms of its accuracy in network coverage as a function of the available of data in terms of the length of the epoch. Even at epoch length equal to 1, which means that each time we only observed one data sample, because we have a sequence of 50 time observations, and we assume a stable network evolution, not too dramatic over time, we actually can recover at a reasonable accuracy about network topology at each time point. And such accuracy will actually increase steadily as I'm having more and more data. And when I have enough data at each time epoch, I actually reach at a pretty decent time, observation estimation accuracy, which is about 90%, 95%. On the other hand, the estimation accuracy of the static exponential linear graph model is not changing over time. And because you know it has really a very wrong assumption, which didn't capture the fact that it was changing over time. So this is the only result I had on more or less convincing on a very small network. And just for fun, I also, in fact, played this model with a true data set where we don't know the ground truth. I just want to see how it performs and how the result looks like. So this is a small network over a biological development process called the Drosophila embryogenesis, and which is measured originally over a few thousand genes, but some early paper picked out 11 genes over 66 time slices over 4 development stages to study the topology of a network. So what that paper did was to collapse all these 66 time slices as IID samples and infer a single network like this. We took a slightly different approaches by assuming these 4 development stages explicitly, and assume that within each time stages, there are maybe around 15 to 20 time slices or time points. The epoch length will be anywhere from 15 to 20. And then we are going to infer 4 different networks which are temporally connected and dependent. And here is the results. It turns out that the last 2 stages use the same network, meaning that there isn't estimable change of topology in these 2 stages. But in the first and the second and the third stages, there are some interesting topological change between the correlation or dependencies of the regulatory genes of these processes, which are more or less kind of corresponding to whose superimposition are more or less corresponding to this overall network inferred by a previous paper. But now you have a time resolution which tells you which edge enters at which time stages. So of course, we just published this result without any experiment of showing whether it is biologically reasonable. And we are now in contact with some biological collaborators to hopefully help us to validate some of the findings, such as the absence of this particular edge at 2 time slices later. Does it mean anything or not? Okay, so that's kind of the technical results I'd like to share with you. And in summary, what I show so far is a hierarchical Bayesian extension of stochastic log model with applications to network semantics and distillation. And then also a new class of stochastic models for dynamic network inclusion. I must point out that this work is very preliminary, therefore all the results I show are on stochastic data and also on very small stochastic models. I had a serious problem in scaling up our inference algorithm over large model with node over like 20 or any node anywhere above that. Recently, we also discovered a new body of literature which use a kind of iterative logistic regression of each node over the rest of the graph to infer network topology in a sparse sense. And we are now trying to make an extension of that model to do a temporal dependent sequence of logistic regressions over each node to hopefully capture a sequence of sparse network over time given limited data. But we don't have any results yet. So I'd be happy to discuss with you the algorithm details or any questions you have on the algorithm we have so far. Okay, thanks.